Well, praise God. It's preaching time, and thank God for that. Just want to recognize tonight all of the veterans. All the veterans, would you stand just a moment, please? All the veterans. Very good. Amen. Very good. Give these folks a nice hand, please. God bless you. You may be seated. President Bush, a mother went to President Bush and asked him, why did my son have to die in Iraq? A mother went to President Clinton and said, why did my son have to die in Somalia? President Bush 1, a mother went to and said, why did my son have to die in Kuwait? A mother went to President Reagan and said, why did my son have to die in Grenada? A mother went to President Truman and said, why did my son have to die in Korea? A mother went to President Roosevelt and asked, why did my son have to die in World War II, Pearl Harbor? Another mother went to Woodrow Wilson and said, why was my son gassed in World War I in France? Another mother went to President Lincoln and asked him, why did my son have to die at Gettysburg? Another mother went to President Washington and asked President Washington, why did my son have to die at Valley Forge? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind us of something tonight. Freedom is always expensive. And we have two folks to thank for freedom tonight. One is the American soldier. And of course, the other freedom we have is the greatest freedom, and that's the freedom of in Jesus Christ. Amen? And he, one has freed our country, but the other has freed our everlasting soul. But I wonder how many of us tonight forget what the Lord has done for us. All through the Word of God we read, they forgot God. I think of September 11th, 2001. All of us can remember that very fateful day where we were. I remember driving to school. I was running a little late that day. And I remember the man who picked me up said to me, well, a plane just flew in one of the buildings at the World Trade Center. And I thought to myself, my goodness, that's awful odd. And as we listened to the radio on the way over, as soon as I got to school, I hooked up a TV, got the rabbit ears out, got it all going. And about that time, I turned it on. Here came the second plane. At that time, we knew at that moment we were under an attack. Yes. America was under attack. We had folks calling our school frantically. We had some parents come pick up their children because they were so scared about what was going on. As a matter of fact, Brother Carter, on that night, I'm sure your church might have done something similar. We announced a church service for that night. Right. We announced a prayer meeting. Can I tell you, we had as big a crowd as we'd have on a Sunday morning on that meeting that night. Yes. Can I tell you, tears were flowing. And people were crying. That Sunday morning rolled around. We had folks in church that we hadn't seen in a long, long time. They were in God's house. Yes. We were glad they were there. But you know what? I noticed over the weeks and over the months, something began to happen. I remember seeing in our country the yellow ribbons tied around the old oak tree. Yet now we're all frailed and no new ribbons are out. Something's happened. What happened? We forgot. Exodus chapter 3 in your scriptures tonight, please. Exodus chapter 3. We look at a story here, and really tonight I believe the Lord wants to remind us about something. Oh, I thank God for our great country, and I thank God for patriotism. But there's a greater cause we need to fight for, amen? Amen. That's the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter number 3, the Word of God says that Moses had kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law. And many of us know the story and familiar with it for sake of time. Of course, we know that that Moses has now gone to the mount and he has seen this incredible sight. This bush that is caught on fire but yet not consumed. And of course, the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that out of the bush came a voice and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. In verse 5, he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And of course, God begins to converse with Moses here. And God is calling Moses. And God is commissioning Moses. If you remember, he is commissioning him to go to his people, who for over 400 years have been in bondage. They've been in hard times, if you please. They've been in a real bad economic crisis, Brother Carter. I mean, their taskmasters have been very tasking on them. They've been whipping them. They've been killing them. They've been doing all kind of awful things to them. They're in bondage. They're in slavery. And the Bible goes on as God commissions and charges Moses. And the Bible, of course, in verse 13 says, and when Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? I think this is an incredible verse here. I think Moses was reminding them, hey, they have forgotten who you are. They've forgotten. They've been under this bondage so long. They've forgotten what kind of God you are. And we see in the next verse in our scriptures tonight, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now look at verse 15. It's a great verse. Get ready to mark this verse. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, notice this, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Unto all generations. So God answered Moses' question. When I go to your people and I say to them, and they say to me, who has sent you? God says, I'm going to tell them who sent you. And when you tell them who sent you, something's going to happen. When Ronald Reagan would stand up and give a speech, he had a statement that he would make. Many times when he stood up for President George W. Bush when he was running for office, if you remember, he would stand and he would say something. He would say this, win one for the Gipper. Yeah. Remember that? What he was doing when he was saying that, he was reminding some people of some things. Yeah. He was reminding them of the importance of the election. And I believe here that God is reminding Moses and sending a reminder signal out, sending out, if you please, a bulletin to his people. So when they ask, when they say, we've forgotten God in this horrible land, we've been in this hard crisis here for 400 plus years, who is God anymore? And God said to Moses, tell him that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So tonight, I just want to, for a couple minutes, remind us of who God is and the greatness of God. Father, I pray tonight now you'd bless. Hide me behind the cross. Anoint me afresh and anew and speak to hearts like only you can speak to, Lord, tonight. Lord, may we put every other thing out of our mind that doesn't relate to this message. And may we do what the Spirit saith tonight. And that is, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Father, use this service in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. This is a great verse, verse 15. A great challenge to me. And Moses said, not only did God say to Moses that I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he said, this is my memorial unto all generations, my reminder. Do you remember when the children of Israel passed through the Jordan River? And then they set up a memorial stones, and when their children come and ask what these stones meaneth, that they could tell them? And God says, I'm setting up, if you please, some memorial stones. I'm setting up something that will help you remember who I am. And I think it's intriguing that tonight he says, I am the God of Abraham. Then he said, I'm the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. So as I read this verse, I got thinking to myself, why did God identify himself with these three men? It wasn't necessarily that he was identifying with these three men, but he was identifying what he had done in and through the life of these men. So that when Moses would go to the children of Israel, and when he would say, I am, God said to me to tell you, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it would flood back in their minds and they would remember who God is. They would remember what God did for Abraham. They would remember what God did for Isaac. And they would remember what God did for Jacob. And I want to say to you tonight, church, that God wants us to remember who he is. In these days in which we live, as we look on the political spectrum, as we look at the compromisers nowadays that are flooding our churches, it seems left and right, we hear about another church that has cashed in, that has compromised, that has gone the way of all flesh. I want to tell you, there are a lot of people who are forgetting who God is. They're forgetting what God has done, and they're forgetting what God can still do in this day today. And I want to tell you something tonight, that he said he is the God of Abraham. So let's journey back in our scriptures to Genesis chapter 12 real quick and see why God said he's the God of Abraham and what that means tonight and what I believe the Lord wants us to remember. Genesis chapter number 12. The word of God says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Look at this, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know what God was saying to Abraham? God says, I'm going to give you some promises. I'm going to give you some definite promises that you can go to the bank on. He gave him in verse number one, the promise of enlightenment. I will show thee. In verse number two, he gave him the promise of enlargement. I will make thee a great nation. In verse number two, he gave them the promise of endowment. I will bless thee. In verse two, he gave them the promise of enhancement. I will make thy name great. In verse three, the promise of encouragement. I will bless them that bless thee. In verse number three, again, the promise of entitlement. In thee, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In verse number seven, the promise of enrichment. Unto thy seed will I give the land. God never makes a promise he can't keep. So I believe when God was saying to Moses that day, tell him I'm the God of Abraham, he was basically saying this, church. He was basically saying, I am the God of promise. And I want you to know tonight, there's not a promise that God has never kept. Amen. The Bible says about Abraham in the book of Romans, chapter number 4 and verse number 20, that he staggered not at the promises of God. And I believe in the year, listen to all generations, I believe in the year 2009, it's time we're reminded tonight, and when we say we serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, do you serve him tonight, amen? That we serve the God of promise tonight. Listen, I know the bumper sticker says, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a false bumper sticker. The bumper sticker should say, if God said it, that settles it, period. Amen? Whether you believe it or not. Somebody said, what God gives you in the light, never doubt in the night. I thank God tonight we have the promise of his word. I thank God tonight that we hold in our hand the promises of the word of God. You can go to the bank on this book right here tonight. And there's no doubt what book I'm talking about. I'm talking about the King James. Amen. I'm talking about the promise of his word. How about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of salvation. How about I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the promise of strength. How about but my God shall supply all your need according to, not out of, but according to his riches. Amen. In Christ Jesus. That's supply tonight. Thank God for security tonight. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to tell you tonight, we have some definite promises out of the word of God, but I think tonight that God's people have forgotten that God is the God of promise and that God will fulfill every promise. Hey, listen, it's not time to hold on. It's time to keep on keeping on. Amen. It's time to march forward. Why? Because we have the God of promise tonight. Thank God for that. Listen, the life of Abraham was a life of believing and waiting. You know what our life is? It's a life of believing and waiting. We need to follow whether we see the star or not. I heard a preacher preach recently, and he had a very great point. He said, you know, sometimes in life you have to follow. Sometimes in life you follow the star when you can see the star, and sometimes you follow when you can't see the star. He said, if you look at your scriptures in the book of Matthew, when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with what? Exceeding great joy. In other words, it had the implication that there was times when the star was there, and there was times when the star wasn't there. But those wise men just kept falling on anyways. And I will tell you, that's how most of life is it not? There's days we're going to see the star. There's days that's going to be clear as can be. And then there's other days when we won't see the star. It's not time to quit then, amen? It's time to keep on keeping on. Following God. Listen, the promises of God. That's the life of Abraham. Adoniram Judson, somebody said, was hanging by his thumbs and was in the Burmese prison. His wife came and said, the mission board wants you to report. And they haven't seen anybody saved, hadn't seen anybody born again. Things were going horrible. Absolutely horrible. He's in a prison. And you know what Adoniram Judson said? Tell him this. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And I want to say to you tonight, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. Somebody said this. Leave all for God. Leave all with God. And find all in God. I don't know what kind of God you serve tonight, but I want to tell you, we serve the God of promise tonight. We serve the God of Abraham. The second thing I see is this. Not only is he called the God of Abraham, but he was called the God of Isaac. Turn in your scriptures to Genesis chapter number 22, please. Genesis chapter number 22. Tremendous story in the Word of God. So much you can get out of preaching in this story. Of course, about obedience. When I think of the life of Isaac, there are four great things that happen in Isaac's life, a lot of other things, but four major things we know of. We know the story here in Mount Moriah, where, of course, we needed a lamb to be provided, and God provided a ram, did he not? Then we know that Isaac needed a bride. Remember, Isaac needed a bride? Did God provide a bride? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Then we know that Isaac found some wells, and he redug those wells. Remember, he dug those wells, and he dug those wells up, and God provided what? Water. Then we know Isaac, when he was old, the book of Hebrews tells us that he blessed his grandchildren. Remember that? He blessed his grandchildren. And when he blessed them, God provided and continued his seed going. When I look at the life of Isaac, I think of this. Let's look at our scriptures tonight. The Bible says in verse number 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." What faith right there. That's the faith we need, by the way. Look at verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And of course, in verse 13, the Bible says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh." You know what that means? The Lord will provide. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." So I believe when God told Moses, "Go to my people, tell them I'm the God of Abraham," he was saying, "I'm the God of promise." But when he said, "I'm the God of Isaac," he said, "I'm the God of provision. I'm the God of provision." I want to tell you something tonight. Would you write it down real big? I've got it written down real big in my notes. God will provide. Lost your job? Be faithful to the Lord. God will provide. Lost your house? Be faithful to the Lord. God will provide. Amen. Got a trouble? Got a burden? Got some distress in your life? Write it down, please, somewhere big. God will provide. Say it with me, please. God will provide. Can I tell you, Jesus is still the answer in this day. Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer to our sin, and he's the answer to any situation. God's timing is always perfect. I don't care what your financial need is tonight. I don't care what your spiritual need is tonight. I don't care what your emotional need is tonight. I don't care what your physical need is tonight. My God is Jehovah Jireh. My God is provider tonight. Is there any need that he can't provide for? Answer me. No, there's not. He can provide for anything tonight. I don't know your need. I know some of you in here tonight, but I don't know what you're facing. Some of you walked in here tonight discouraged. Some of you walked in here tonight maybe despondent. Some of you walked in here tonight maybe ready just to just come in and say, "Oh, this is just going to be another service, and bless me if you can." But I want to tell you, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is trying to speak to your heart tonight to tell you to buck it up and get ready, because God's about to provide your need for you if you'll just trust him. Oh my, may God help us tonight. We had a lady in our church. She had surgery, bless her heart. And she's a single mom, and she works third shift all night long. She has a sister who lives with her. We had testimony time in our Sunday school class, and on Friday night she called me a couple weeks back, and she said, "Brother Glenn, I had to share this with you." She said, I went to walk out. You know, my sister just had surgery. We live together. We share the bills of the house. And she has her half. I have my half. And unless she's making money and unless I'm making money," she said, "we can't pay our bills." She said, "I got ready to leave the church service. I had to leave a little early because my sister wasn't feeling well." She said, "I had my pink offering envelope in my hand. And I really debated whether I should give half of an offering or give a whole tithe. But," she said, "you know, just something inside of me was struggling." And she said, "I decided, you know, we're struggling, but I decided I was going to give the whole tithe." She said, "so I just gave this envelope." She's telling me this now. "I gave this envelope to one of the ushers, and I said, quick, take it fast before I change my mind." And sure enough, we gave it to the usher, and they left out, and the offering time came. And when it was all said and done, she said, "I got to tell you something." She said, "I went into work." She said, "I went into work this week. I worked Monday, I worked Tuesday, I worked Wednesday." She said, "Thursday came along, my boss called me in, and my boss said to me, 'I want to do something for you.'" She said, "he's never done this before." He said, "I want to give you a bonus." She said, "I want to give you an early Christmas bonus. I'm going to give you more at Christmas, but I want to give you an early bonus." Gave her a $1,000 bonus in this economy. She said, "I wanted you to know, God provides, Brother Glenn. I just want you to know that." I want to tell you today, now's not the time to quit tithing, amen? We used to have people tithe 100 on 1,000 when they were making 1,000 a week. Yeah. But now you're making 100 and you won't tithe the 10.
Right.
And you wonder why God's not blessing you. God will provide. He will provide for those who are obedient and those who are faithful to Him. He's Jehovah Jireh. And by the way, I thank God when Abraham said this and Isaac was on the altar and he looked and he said, God will provide Himself a lamb. I thank God John the Baptist came on the scene and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I thank God He provided the Lord Jesus Christ for my sin. I don't have to die and go to the devil's hill tonight. I've trusted Him as my Savior. I've been born again by the grace of God. His blood has washed me white as snow, and I know that I know if I were to die tonight, I'd go to heaven and heaven would be my home. Why? Because God provided Himself a lamb. Thank God for that. Hey, if everything else is going bad, listen, I've got heaven as my home. Jesus is my Savior. Hey, I can rejoice tonight. Somebody should say amen right there. Oh my. Listen, number three, he said I'm the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. This is a funny one here. I want you to look at the scriptures with me though. In Genesis 32, turn in your scriptures there, please. Genesis 32. If you're still awake, would you say amen?
Amen.
I heard Brother Carter talking about feeling later. He's right, amen? Genesis chapter number 32. This is a great story. Of course, Jacob, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Jacob was conniver. He was their planner. He was a man who lived in the flesh. He didn't live by faith. But there came a day when he realized his fleshly living brought him nowhere in a hurry. And it was a great day in Jacob's life when we come to Genesis chapter number 32. He didn't realize how great of a day it was, but it was the greatest day in his life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 32, the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he saith, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Amen. When I think of the God of Abraham, I think he's the God of promise. When I think the God of Isaac, I think the God of provision. But when I think the God of Jacob, I think he's the God of power.
Amen.
The power of God touched Jacob's life. Only the power of God could touch Jacob, this conniver's life, this surplanter's life. Only the power of God could touch Jacob's life and transform him and change him by the very touch of God, by the very power of God. No longer now a conniver, but now a prince of God. Amen. But now Israel he is. And I want you to know today when Moses stood before that crowd and he said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I believe something started to well up inside of them. They thought about the promises of God. They thought about the provision of God. Then they thought about the power of God and what God did to Jacob. How God changed his name. How God changed his nature. How God changed his talk. How God changed his walk. Jacob realized on that day what Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. And I want you to know, Jacob realized that on that day, that his conniving and his toiling and his spinning was all in vain. For without Jesus, you can do nothing. Amen. You know what we need people today? We need people to stop living in the flesh and start living in the very presence and power of God. Listen, there's a lot of people who aren't changed because a lot of people haven't been changed because they've never been born again. Listen, I want you to know today when the power of God touches your life, the power of God will change your life. The song that the youth songwriter had it right, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. I want to tell you today, listen, God is the God of power today. People need to stop relying on a hope so, maybe so, traditional so, salvation, and start relying again on the power of God. You know why these churches have gone to nightclub atmosphere? You know why they've gone to their rock and roll style music and they've imitated the world and it looks like they've just come out of the world factory? I want to tell you why, because they've lost the power of God in the service. And they're trying to substitute something for the power of God. I want to declare to you tonight, there is no substitute for the power of God. The power of God was available in Moses' day. The power of God was available in Jacob's day. The power of God was available in Lee Robertson's day, in Jack Hiles' day. The power of God was available in Billy Sunday's day, in D.L. Moody's day. And Brother Stephen, I want you to know the power of God's available in our day. Praise God. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad for what God's done in the life and ministry of my father-in-law and Pastor Mickey Carter. But I want you to know the power of God is still real and relevant for the year 2009. God can still save sinners. Amen. The preaching of the gospel still works today. The power of God is still real today. Thank God for that. Oh, Jacob learned something that night. He learned that he is the God of power. He's the God who created the world from nothing. He's the God who opened the Red Sea for Moses. He's the God who for David guided a rock to slay a giant. He's the God for Elijah who shut up heaven. He's the God for Daniel who closed the lion's mouth. He's the God of the Hebrew children whose fire had no power. He delivered them from the fiery furnace. And this is amazing to me. They didn't even smell like smoke. He's the God who caused a fish to swallow Jonah. I like to call that fish's name Mercy. Swallow that old backslidden preacher. Let that backslidden preacher get right with God. Spit him back out and go preach one of the greatest revivals in all of history. He's the God who heals the sick. He's the God who raised the dead. He's the God who caused the coin to come out of fish's mouth. He's the God who walked on water. He's the God who caused the blind to see. He's the God who made the dumb to talk. He's the God who made the deaf to hear. He's the God who made the lame to walk. He died. He was buried. He rose the third day. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. He set my feet upon a rock and he established my going. I'm saved by the power of God tonight. Thank God for that tonight. That is our God tonight. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's an unchangeable God. I got a question for you tonight. Is there anything too hard for our God tonight? No, there's not. There's nothing too hard for him. But have we forgotten? Have we forgotten? Have you been serving him like you should? Have you been praising him like you should? Have you been living for him like you should? Have you been telling others about him like you should? Oh, it's easy to sing, what a mighty God we serve in here when things are going good. The God on the mountain. Right? We sing that song. But he's still God in the valley too. Praise him as much on your mountain as you do in your valley. Amen. May God help us tonight. Oh, God can do anything. There's no doubt about it. I might have told this story here before, but I love it. In 1876, back in Swan Creek, North Carolina, there was a church that wanted to build. They had their eye on this piece of property. It was just perfect. It was kind of in a lowland area, and this is where they wanted their church property to be. They went to the man, and they said, sir, we want to buy this property. And this man wasn't a believer. And he said to this church, there's no way that I will sell this property to the church. You'll never have this property. There's no price you can pay. Forget it. The church prayed and prayed and prayed about it. Finally, they just decided that they would build their church somewhere else. They got it all said and settled and done. They got the building built and they're getting ready to have a service. But that night, a storm came through. And as that storm came through, they said it was the most unusual storm. They said the waters just poured down and just flooded the streets. And he said all of a sudden, during the day, it seemed like the water where the church was built, the church building began to lift off its foundation. And somebody said it seemed like that church building had a mind of its own. He said that church building started to go down the street on top of that water, and that church building went down, and all of a sudden it took a right turn, and then it took a left turn, and then it took another right turn. And I'll give you three guesses where it landed. Right in the very property that they wanted. You know what that man did? That man signed the deed over to him, said, that church is yours. This property's yours, no charge. God did that, amen? And if God can move a church building in North Carolina, don't you think God can provide for you? Don't you think God can meet your need? Don't you think God can help you? That's the kind of God we serve today. Listen, we all believe in the grand God of yesterday. We all believe in the God who parted the Red Sea. We all believe in him. There's no doubt about it. We all believe in the God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall. We all believe in that God who caused the sun to stand still. We rejoice and we shout about it. We shouted about it a little bit ago, and that's nothing wrong with that. Then we all believe Jesus is coming soon, this great, glorious God of tomorrow. Boy, we believe in that. Woo! son, we shout about it. We start talking about Jesus is coming soon. And boy, I tell you what, people get stirred up and people stand up and shout with their Bibles, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I thank God for that. But what about the great and grand glorious God of today?
Goodbye.
Yes, he's the great God of yesterday and the great God of tomorrow, but he is also the great God of today. Yes, he can save your loved one. Yes, he can provide your need. Yes, he can do something great and grand and glorious, exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think tonight.
Yes.
That's our God tonight. Do you know him tonight? We need a fresh glimpse of God tonight. That's what we need the year 2009. We need an Isaiah vision of God where he saw the Lord in the year King Uzziah died and high and lifted up, and he said, woe is me, woe is me. And he commissioned him to go out and go do something for the Lord. We need a vision of God tonight. Listen, there's no soul he can't save. There's no life he can't transform. There's no need he can't meet. So I believe when Moses went and he stood before the people, he had a message. He had a message for Pharaoh, and he had a message for the Egyptians. But the first message he had to give was the message to the people of God. He had to remind, if my people, which are called by my name, God always deals with his people first. And I don't know your situation tonight. Some of you have broken hearts in here. Some of you may be hanging on by a shoestring. The shoestring's about to snap. But I want you to know tonight, we have a great, grand, glorious God. We have a God who can do anything tonight. Listen, he is the God of Abraham. He's the God of promise. Can I challenge you? Don't let go of the promises of God. What God gives you in the light, don't doubt in the night. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of provision. Listen, he's the God of provision. Don't forget where God guides, he provides. Don't forget that tonight. He's the God of Jacob. He's a God of power. Can I simply say it? God can do anything. Let me just close with this one thought, and that's this. You say, well, Brother Glenn, you don't understand my situation. I say, you don't know my God.
Amen.
You have not because you ask not.